all things New Orleans Saints. This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat said they gonna be them Saints?
Powered by Overtime Media.
Hello and welcome back into another off-season edition here at the Who Dat Discussion. As always, I am your host, Andrew Galata. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Galata, and then also you can follow the podcast on Twitter at the Who Dat Dis. We have another news-filled episode here for you guys today. Taysom Hill and Winston, like that kind of battle for the number two and kind of the next future quarterback after Drew Brees is kind of up for grabs, and there's a ton of news about it, which to me is extremely interesting, so we're definitely going to dive into that. The Saints did sign a linebacker to kind of add some depth, Anthony Chiquillo, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then also we will be breaking down the defensive tackle position here for 2020 as kind of the next edition of our positional previews and breakdowns kind of for next season. But I do want to start out with some news, as yesterday, it was kind of interesting. A report came out from Jay Glazer. He said it on The Herd, and he was like, well, Taysom Hill's their guy, and they could say whatever they want. You could see whatever smokescreen you want, but Taysom Hill is their guy. And that's what he was kind of saying. Like, he's their next future. He's the number two. He's the future guy. They paid him $16 million next season. Like, all that stuff. Like, that is definitely something that Glazer said, and he said, whatever you hear, it's probably not right, because Taysom Hill is going to be the guy. And Glazer, I mean, sometimes he's good. Sometimes, you know, he could be a little shoddy with the sources. I think he's usually good. I mean, he got the Odell Beckham. Everyone was calling him crazy because he said the Giants would never trade Odell Beckham. And then they traded him. So maybe he's just ahead of the sources here. But again, a kind of conflicting report with him. So it's kind of interesting now, who you're going to trust, him or Sean Payton, who said he wants to find out who the next heir apparent to Drew Brees is with Jameis Winston entering the team. Now, it is interesting. Now, we've had this talk a few times, but I think I'm going to bring it up again because of these kind of conflicting reports. You have the coach come on and say that we don't really know yet. You know, we haven't seen Jameis yet here in a game or even in practice. Taysom we have seen, but we're hoping that he could take the next step. And if he does that, you know, maybe he's the better guy. But right now, we haven't seen that yet. So we can't say that he's the guy either. So to me, that's very, very interesting because, again, you have Taysom Hill who, look, is going to be now 30. And when the season starts now, again, let's say goes to next season, now he's going to be 31 and he's just taken over. So how many years are you going to get of Taysom Hill before, you know, it's just he retires? I mean, if he goes to 31 till what, 38, 39, that's only 8 years. And that's like, look, if the Saints get 8 really good years out of Taysom Hill, you'll take that. But now, you know, you can't kind of waste Taysom Hill's time. Jameis Winston's younger for sure. I mean, look, he's 26. So definitely he's a younger guy, so you probably have a little more time with him. But I think that the Saints are definitely going to want to keep Winston for obviously the whole of this year. They have him signed, obviously. But then I think they would like to keep him next year to try to battle it out with Hill, especially if he shows some promise here. Because Peyton said, like, I like what Jameis Winston does on the field. I like what Taysom Hill is doing on the field. And we kind of want to see, we want to evaluate both and kind of have them battle it out. And I really hope that training camp happens to its fullest. I really hope that preseason happens to its fullest because I want to see this battle so badly. I mean, look, obviously you can't wait for the season. You can't wait for September, but August is going to be fun for the Saints team. I mean, you're going to have a ton of battles with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. I think that's the most important one, but then you have other ones. You have kind of, you want to see what the Saints are going to do in the offensive line. You're going to see what they want to do at linebacker. Like, they have a lot of interesting stuff in August that we're going to have to figure out. And honestly, I can't wait for it. I'm all down for it. And I can't wait until we get to that point where we can practice and see it and watch the games. Like, I can't wait for that. And that should be really fun. But for now, it's all speculation. And to me, I think money does speak, how the Saints have put guaranteed money into Taysom Hill and a pretty good amount of it, of $16 million, compared to Jameis Winston, who they have no guaranteed money in beyond this year. And again, obviously the Saints could always sign him, but I think what the Saints are trying to do here is kind of build a competition, build at least an atmosphere for a competition, and then they feel like a competition that Taysom Hill is eventually going to win. And they just feel that Jameis is going to push Taysom, and they'll probably learn off of each other. They'll both learn off of Drew Brees. Now, it's interesting. Really, the best scenario for the Saints is Drew Brees goes out, has an amazing year, 16, all 16 games. He has a great year. Saints get the one seed. the playoffs go through New Orleans. Saints ends up winning the Super Bowl. Drew Brees goes out on top. Best scenario for the team. Then you get to Drew Brees retires into the sunset with the Super Bowl ring, his second Super Bowl ring, his second Super Bowl MVP. Jameis didn't get to play. No one thinks he got really that better, just like the same thing happened with Teddy Bridgewater is going to happen with Jameis Winston, and then Jameis comes back to you for a year. And then you get to have a QB competition between the two, and then whoever wins, you get to start, and then probably the backup is either you're going to have him as a backup, or you're going to, you probably will keep him throughout the year, and then you can obviously let him go for a comp pick, or you can trade him earlier to get like a third round pick if someone, some team is quarterback needy. So that's also a situation that the Saints could go in. And, you know, if that happens, that's the perfect scenario. Now, will it happen? We'll have to see. And again, I think Taysom is going to get better as a quarterback. I kind of trust him. Jameis Winston, I trust too, though. I think he is a guy that can come in here and, look, learn from Drew Brees. Hopefully the turnovers come down. And with Sean Payton, I think he could be successful. Now, Taysom Hill is a different set of skills. I think that, like, a lot of people have been saying this, like, people think Sean Payton just needs a different type of QB to get his mind going again. Because some people think he gets his play calling gets a little stale. And, you know, and that's actually kind of a valid, I'm not going to say concern, but it's definitely valid to say, like, look, Sean Payton needs a different quarterback just to get the juices flowing again. And Taysom Hill, like, if he was a quarterback full time, it would be fun. And I don't think he'd get hurt, at least for the first few years. It may be a situation like Cam Newton, where he basically is healthy for a few years, has some great seasons, brings a team to the Super Bowl, but then 5 years down the line isn't really there. So, yes, does Taysom Hill seem like more of a 3 to 4 or 5 year quarterback? Yes. Is he going to be probably a 10-year quarterback, especially if he starts at age 31? Probably not. I mean, let's just be real. Now, he may prove me wrong and play until, what, 42, 43, but I don't know about that. And, look, Taysom's arm's going to have to get a lot better if he wants to play in this league, and, again, he's going to have to be less erratic, and he's also not going to have to be a run-first player. Everyone thinks, so he's the next Lamar Jackson, he's the next guy coming in here and is going to be great. You cannot say that. You cannot say Taysom Hill is going to be Lamar Jackson. I think it's possible, but you can't say it's probable for sure. And, I mean, again, it's something to definitely look at. Jameis Winston, again, he did throw 30 touchdowns, obviously he had 30 picks, so that 30 touchdown kind of potential is there. You kind of have to maximize it. I think Sean Payton could be the right guy to do it. I think Jameis Winston's more of the safe pick. Taysom Hill is obviously the more of the outlier. You probably will get, like, your max value with Taysom Hill is probably higher than Jameis Winston. But again, your floor is much lower. So again, that's kind of a thing you have to balance here. But again, it is very, very interesting. It was interesting to see what Jay Glazer was saying at how he thinks Taysom Hill is basically a lock in there. Interesting that Sean Payton said it's going to be a, you know, quarterback battle kind of. It's going to be interesting, and I definitely can't wait to see how it all kind of maps out for the Saints and resolves itself, because it will, one way or another, resolve itself. Just like we said, the draft. Will the Saints draft QB, or will they go with Hill? And it seems like this is the option they are going to go in. So now, before we get into the defensive tackles, we are going to talk quickly about the Saints signing Anthony Ciccolo, and he's a guy that's, again, seems like more of a special teams guy. And he's a player that, look, again, you're looking at what he was able to do, 7.5 sacks in his career, 7.5 sacks in the last 4 seasons. He started 9 games throughout his career of 65. But let's face it, he is more of a special teams player. And again, you're going to put him on for more of a camp body spot. Maybe he can win a special team spot. But again, I don't think he's going to end up kind of making the Saints roster. I'd be surprised. He's more of a role that Zach Bond fills, and maybe the Saints brought him in here to just like have some insurance for Zach Bond. I'm not 100% sure about that, but he's kind of a guy that plays edge rusher and linebacker, does a little of both, plays special teams, and that's kind of where he's found his home, is really in special teams, and that's why he's made it with the Steelers all these years. He's kind of, that's where he's been, like a depth linebacker with some special teams ability. And again, that's been very, very good, and you got to give him credit for that. But again, he's just not the best linebacker to me. I'd rather have Craig Robinson. He's been here longer. I'd rather have some other linebackers that are kind of depthful. I mean, he would, to me, kind of fill the position that Manti Te'o filled for the Saints. Now, again, I'd rather have Manti Te'o, but maybe just because, I mean, with his age and everything, the Saints go to a kind of a younger guy here and see what Ciccolo could do. Again, it kind of is what it is with him. He also did have a little off-the-field issue last season, but it was dropped, and he ended up playing 11 games, so it wasn't that big of an issue. But again, he is a player that, a young player that are not like extremely young, but look, he's in his kind of getting into his prime, 27 years old. And again, he's going to be a player that comes in here, probably more of a special teams guy. If he makes the team, he gives you that depth too. And just playing through training camp, playing through preseason, it would be great to see him just like kind of know the playbook just in case anyone goes down. And let's say the Saints cut him, but then they re-sign him for some depth. I can definitely see something like that. But that's kind of what the signing is. I would say low impact. You're probably not going to hear his name much. But again, he could be a special teams piece. He could be a depth piece at linebacker as well as edge rusher. So another player that's versatile, kind of fills a few holes. And not holes, but just a few spots, I would say. And look, I mean, he's going to have to... It's definitely going to be an uphill chance for him to make this team and break 53. But it's definitely going to be interesting. Obviously, you're going to try to give him a shot. I mean, there are some guys on this roster that I'd rather have Chickalow over. But again, we'll kind of have to see how it all plays out. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see how that happens. Again, I think that the Saints do... I would love them to add. And they do, to me, need that defensive lineman. And everyone's now been saying it. I said back in, like, February that the Saints, they could look at a D lineman. They kind of should. They haven't yet. I would like to see them get somebody. It doesn't have to be Everson Griffin in my mind, just like a Ziggy Ansah type guy to give some insurance to Marcus Davenport. I think that they're going to end up doing it, and they're going to end up doing it. I don't know when. I think before training camp, but again, it's just tough to know because after that first wave of free agency, really any deal can go down any time, and it kind of just has to take the right thing. And again, a lot of stars are out there. It's very, very interesting. It's just kind of that how this year's went. A lot of stars have been out, and look, I think the Saints will end up getting one of those guys, but here, they signed a depth guy, and he's just going to add to the roster, I think, add to the 90-man. I don't expect him to make this 53-man, but if he does, he's going to give some special teams help. That's why I think he'd make this team through special teams. If he doesn't make the team, at least you have him for depth, just in case a few guys go down, and he can come in, at least he knows the playbook and all that fun stuff, so it's not like a 100% new transition. But again, that's just kind of what it is there for the signing of Chickalow. Now, before we get into our defensive tackle talk and interior defensive line talk, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Welcome back into the Who Dat discussion, and now we are going to break down the interior defensive line and defensive tackle position. So again, it is a pretty, interesting group here because you do have like some players that are going to plug in there and play and hopefully not get hurt, and you have a really good squad here in this group. And again, you have players that are going to, you have some question marks for sure, but then you have some players that I think like this group could be one of the best in the NFL if everything works out for them. But you do have some insurance policies. You do have some young, really good players, and you have some players that should get better this season. But to me, it's all going to round out. And to me, I think this group has some real potential here. So starting off here with the starting three-tech defensive tackle here is going to be Sheldon Rankins. He's going to be 26 at the start of 2020. Now, this is going to be his fifth year. This is his fifth option year. And he's got... You know, he's got that money from the fifth option, so it's over $7 million. But this is going to be his year to prove himself. So last year, he had 2 sacks. And look, he played only in 10 games. He got hurt again. Now, it wasn't as bad as the other injury, so he's going to be back fine and should be good. But again, he just wasn't as good as 2018. 2018, he had 8 sacks, 82 PFF grade. So he did dip this year. Now, I think that was partly because he started off slow because of injury, but then by the end, before he got hurt, the Saints really saw kind of, he was really good and he played well. He got hurt in that Niners game, I believe, And then he also missed a few games to start the season. So again, he was just, I mean, he's a guy that he didn't have a bad season. He was above average for me. He was getting better and better and better. He hit his peak and got hurt. So definitely kind of a tough situation for him. But again, you're hoping that he comes back stronger. And look, the injury bug is there, but also the potential is there. Like, I mean, those 8 sacks, that great PFF grade, like that potential is there. And, you know, he was able to get a lot of tackles for loss. He was able to become a player that did a very, very good job. And you're hoping that he could continue that in 2020. And to me, that's something that I'm not going to bank. You're not banking on him for sure. And you kind of can at this point. But again, at least he's here. And if he does go to that full potential, or even if he goes to like 75% of that, if he gets to that really 2019 level, like the defense was still, especially when he was getting better and better and better, the defense was getting good as well. And like when they were playing all those, they had a few stretch of games where they were very good. Rankins was a big part of that. And he's got to, I mean, look, if he can return to that 2018 self, it's a game changer for the Saints. Like that will take him to the next step. I know I've talked about how Malcolm Jenkins could take him to the next step. Marcus Davenport could take him to the next step. I think Sheldon Rankins can too. If he can get those 8 sacks, that would really help the defensive line a lot. And it would put some pressure off of Marcus Davenport having to get to the quarterback. But again, that's something that I think is going to depend on injury. If he doesn't get hurt, he should be right there and the production should be there. And if he's coming back healthy and full and ready to go, he should be good. If he's not, that's when you're going to see issues. And to me, that's just kind of where Sheldon Rankins lands. He's a guy that if he comes in here and if he's at 100%, I mean, the Saints really got a solid player. Like, he's going to be Pro Bowl type player. But you can't bank on that. And that's why the Saints did bring in David Onyemata back. And I'm happy they did that. And I think that if Sheldon Rankins gets hurt again, he's going to get a new start somewhere else. And the Saints are going to go with the player that at least is more durable. Like, yes, Sheldon Rankins, he definitely has more of a ceiling than David Onyemata. Right now, he's a better player. He's, like, if healthy, he's a more polished pass rusher. He's a good run stuffer. Like, he's a great all-around player with Sheldon Rankins. He is really putting all the moves together. And you're hoping maybe he could take that even kind of, like, really for him, the next step is just repeating 2018. If he can do that, you'd be really happy with him. And I'd re-sign him. And then you have a duo with Rankins, Onyemata, and I think that duo could be really good because then you could bring in Onyemata for certain looks and everything, and that could be really successful. But again, that's something that the Saints will definitely look at. Maybe they won't keep Rankins long-term. It's kind of something you just have to play with, to me. And again, it's definitely a good situation to have two starting three techs. But again, right now for Rankins, if he returns to that 2018 self, you would be extremely happy and very excited for him to see what he can do in the future. But again, if he can do that, plus let's say Marcus Davenport takes the next step, plus Malcolm Jenkins really helps this defense out a lot, like I think he will, this defense should take that next step. And I mean, beyond that next step, if you get all those three, you're thinking this is a top five defense. If you get two out of those three, you're hoping you're inside the top 10. And if you get even one of those three, you hope to get like a few spots higher than you were last year at 13. So at least like maybe to 11. But again, I think that's something that you definitely have to look at with Rankins. And I do think that he should get some time spoken about him, because he's a player that if he comes in here and is disruptive like he was in 2018, that really takes a lot of pressure off Davenport and Jordan and his run stuffing ability. He's got to keep that and he's got to keep on plugging up holes. But I do think that he'll be able to do that. It's really health for Davenport, and we'll kind of see how that all plays out. But to me, he's at the top there. If he can come through and stay healthy, there's no doubt that he'd be our best defensive tackle going into 2020. Then we'll go to our starting one tech, and that's going to be Malcolm Brown. He's a player that, to me, played really well last season. I mean, he's only 26. Like, to me, this was a great signing for the Saints. Like, he's a solid player. To me, he got better after last season. He had 2 sacks, 18 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, which I think was really good. He was able to get in the backfield, get the sacks. He was a disruptor at times. 68.2 PFF, which is one of the best in his career. And just when you look at those one techs, it's very difficult to get a high PFF grade. They're known for not having that high of a PFF grade. And he did a really good job. Was great against the run. And he was able to also get some push against the pass. To me, he's a player that I think that he's just going to play in there. He's an above average player. Not quite at the Pro Bowl level, but he's been just solid in there. And he's a player that's going to do a good job at the one tech. And he's going to, I think, do a really good job for the next 2 years. Then you're looking at Shai Tuttle and kind of maybe figuring out a role for him. But for now, Malcolm Brown's a guy that's going to come in here, do his job well, and you don't really have to worry about him. To me, he's just a top-notch, kind of just above-average player. So not much to kind of talk about him. Hopefully, he's going to be a nice mainstay for the team. Now, moving over to our next defensive tackle here, our backup three tech, and that's David Onyemata. He's a guy that signs a three-year, $27 million deal. He was a guy that a lot of people thought would leave and the Saints would go with Rankins, but it seems like the Saints are kind of going to give David Onyemata a shot here. He is going to be 27 years old, but still is a young player, and he's a pretty raw player. Like last year, he did have three sacks, but he had three tackles for loss. Again, and then I believe he had 4.5 sacks with the Saints in 2018. So he's kind of just like, to me, he's kind of just, he's keeping on building the blocks and they're keeping on going up. He had a good end of the year to 2018, like in the, and like, cause he played in the NFC Championship game for Rankins and he did a really good job. And then this year he came in and he was good, but he wasn't as good as that job. He wasn't at the level Rankins. To me, he was a little below, but he's still, if he could take that next step, a lot of people think that he's going to be like the Akeem Hicks for the Saints, and the Saints didn't want to miss out on that. So you're hoping that he can put everything together, and because he's a guy that if he could put everything together, he's going to be outstanding. He's going to get to that 8-9 sacks. He's going to be able to do all that, make tackles for loss, stop the run, stop the pass, and do all that good stuff that you want three tech to do. And he's got a ton of potential, probably just as much as Rankins, but he doesn't have the injuries. So you don't have the injury issues with him. You're hoping he could just take the next step, take the next step, take the next step, and he's good. Because he's a guy that, yes, he did have three sacks last year. He did have 4.5 the year before, but he's got to take that next step. He's got to probably double that to 6-7 if he was in a full-time role. He's not. So where does he kind of go for this 2020 team? Now, he's going to come in here. If Rankins is healthy the whole season, let's just say that, and Rankins is doing his 2018 self, you kind of have Onyemata here as a guy who's probably going to come in on certain packages. He'll probably be around that 3-4 sack range, maybe 5 sacks, and kind of see what he's going to do. If Rankins gets hurt, he's your plug-and-play type player. You're hoping that he can be close, if not the same as Rankins, and I think the Saints brought him here for an insurance. Now, he has an expensive insurance policy, but again, I think the kind of the thing is the Saints don't really trust Sheldon Rankins long-term, and they're going to turn to Onyemata after the season unless Rankins goes off, like has a better season in 2018. I think that's going to happen. So the Saints wanted to bring a guy in that they know is going to come in here, is going to do the playbook well, and going to really help the insurance policy for Rankins. And to me, this is a really good kind of policy because there's really not a big drop-off in play when these two kind of sub in and out. And to me, that's really good to have an insurance policy with kind of two starters. And that, to me, to have two starting level kind of three techs is really good. And probably top 15 starting three techs. That's, to me, is really good. I think Onyemata's, people think he's going to take the next step. People in the league highly valued him. A lot of teams are going for him. The Saints ends up just outbidding everybody. And obviously he wanted to come back because of being on the team and being with the camaraderie. To me, that's big. And then Rankins has that top 10 ability, has that Pro Bowl ability at the defensive tackle spot. Just the injuries have been a big issue. But if you take those injuries out, he's definitely in the top 10 there. Now, you obviously have to count for those injuries, so you probably back him up a little bit. But man, if he can put a full season together, you're really excited. I mean, if both these guys can team up and stay healthy, it's going to be really fun. Now, if they don't, I think the Saints still kind of have depth to even kind of get both of the guys hurt. I think the Saints are going to be fine when it comes to that. It's going to be very, very interesting to kind of see what happens, but I don't think both are going to get hurt. I think at least one will stay healthy, and the Saints will have a high level of play at that three tech. But even if they both get hurt, like Mario Edwards and Shai Tuttle, I think can pair up and parlay with each other and do a really good job kind of just playing off each other's strengths. Like, they could be pretty good three techs within themselves. And I think that's another thing that no one's looking at that I think we should look at. Because these are guys that are going to come in here and I think do a good job. And I would like to look at them because I think they're guys that can come in here and do good work. And that just shows how deep the position is. Like, I'd be pretty comfortable if the Saints came up with Edwards and then also Shai Tuttle. I mean, look, they wouldn't be the best. They wouldn't be as good as Onyemata, but they would be kind of a suitable starter. You could still win a championship with them. So, and they won't be a detriment to this team. And especially if you have Marcus Davenport playing at a high level, it shouldn't be a huge issue. So that does transition us well really nicely into our next few guys, which is going to be Mario Edwards and Shai Tuttle. We'll start off with Mario Edwards, who's going to be 26 this next season. So he's still a young player. Three sacks, 8 tackles, 1 forced fumble. He did also have 2 tackles for loss. 66.9 PFF grade, so really 66 or 67 PFF grade. He did play 14 games. He's a guy that I think can come up, and he's going to give really good depth at, I think, both of these defensive ends and three-tech position. Because we are talking defensive tackles, we are going to kind of just, I guess, kind of talk about his role there. But he can definitely play three-tech. Now, he's a guy that is a little undersized to play defensive tackle, a little too big to play defensive end, so he's kind of stuck in the middle, and he's going to play at different kind of points of the Saints. He's a guy on third downs. He got to the quarterback, did have three sacks, and that's where he's going to live. He's going to live in that 2 to 4 sack range. And again, good depth piece. You're not going to complain about him. Yeah, he's not an MVP player. He's not a game-changing player, but if you need him to step up for a play or two, he can do it. And if he needs to start for a game or two, he can do it. And I do really like that. Like, I mean, he's going to be a guy that he's under contract. He's a guy that's going to come in here, do a good job, come in, definitely add some veteran value. He can be a guy that even helps with Davenport as well. Kind of could be a little depth for you there, but you would like to add another guy. But again, if you pair him with like a Shy Tuttle, I think they can be a starting tandem. Like if you just platoon them very nicely, I think that could happen, as I said before. Then also you can kind of, I think he can play, get some depth and get some snaps on third down from defensive end and stuff like that. And to me, he does a pretty good job against the runs, does a pretty good job against the pass. Just kind of an average player that in a fourth or fifth role, you're extremely happy in. And he's got to play two positions at a pretty solid level, average level. Like, to have a player that can play two positions at an average level in your fourth spot on your depth chart, like, to me, that's, I mean, it's impressive to see how much depth the Saints have. Like, he can start for some teams. He was starting for the Raiders. He was starting for the Giants. And now he's the fourth guy for the Saints. To me, that just shows that, again, he's a guy that he will do the job that he needs to do. And then you can kind of count on him to do for a few games. Like, he can start for a few games. He can do some other things for a few games. But again, he's the type of player that, solid player, going to come up in here, do his job. And but the Saints obviously will need some other guys to step up instead of them. Like, you would need Marcus Davenport to have a big season. You would need someone else. Like, he's not going to be your 10-sack guy, but he's a guy that can fill a role. Next here on the list is Shy Tuttle. The kid's 24 years old. And to me, that shows something. Like, look, he did have two sacks last year, three tackles for loss, 73 PFF grade. He also stiff-armed Matt Ryan into the next century. But to me, this guy is, I think he's got a lot of future. People thought that he was going to be like the next Taylor Stallworth, would just be a one tech. It looks like he can be a one tech and a three tech. He's going to have to take that next step, but I think he will take that next step. And I think he's going to become kind of a solid player here. I think he's a guy that has some pass rushing moves that are going to be developed. I think his run stopping ability is very good. I think he could be a player that's part of the Saints' future, as the Saints probably will look to get younger at that position as time goes on. Maybe you see him replace Malcolm Brown or something like that. Look, as your fourth defensive tackle or your fifth defensive tackle here, he's a solid player, and he's a guy that I really like, and you just kind of want him to take that next step in his development. Now, again, you're not banking on him to take like a big step forward. You know, the Saints don't need that, but if he does, that's an added bonus, and he's really good depth if a few guys go down. Like, I trust him to come in here and play one tech if something happened to Malcolm Brown or something like that. Our fifth guy is another one tech with Taylor Stallworth, 25 years old, so also a young player. Now, in 2018, he played a lot more than in 2019. 2019 only played 5 games. 2018, he played 14 games. Kind of Shy Tuttle took a spot. But again, in 2018, he did do a pretty good job. He had a sack. I mean, he also had a fumble recovery, 63.1 PFF grade. This year, 65.5. So we did see a little jump in there. But again, he had no tackles for loss this season. He did have one last season. He's a one tech, and he's a guy that could make some plays, but he's good against the run. He's not so good against the pass. To me, he's just an average one tech. You can see him. Like, he's one of those undrafted free agents that will have some success because he's really good at being a one tech and he's really good at stopping the run. And you'll hear his name being called in like preseason or even the regular season because he can do that and he can get in the backfield. And like, that's really great. But that's kind of where he projects. And like, that's great. Like, he could definitely be a starter for some team down the road, I think. Now, again, he fills a really nice role for the Saints. He's kind of more depth. He's like your fifth or sixth guy, so you don't expect much from him. But he can be a player that, like, if you got a ton of players hurt, like, I'd be fine with even him stepping up into a starting role. Like, I'd be comfortable with him playing one tech. And to me, that's a good spot to have yourself in. And to me, that's really good. That just shows how much depth the Saints have here. Then our last guy before we get to our undrafted free agent for this group is going to be Jalen Dalton. He signed a futures deal with the Saints. He is only 23 years old, and he was on the practice squad in 2019, and then he was a UDFA in 2019 as well. And then he was signed by the Bears, but he was at a UNC. He's a guy that had 12.5 sacks in his time at UNC, and in 2 years with UNC, his last 2 years at UNC. I think, look, he's a three tech. He's obviously going to have to get a lot better, but maybe you can see a role from him I mean, like, to me, he would have to win. He would have to outplay some guys. He would have to outplay Shai Tuttle. He would have to do some good things. You want to give him a shot because he does have some pretty good measurables. But again, and he did have some success in college. And he just had a disastrous, not to say disastrous last season, but he was just learning on the practice squad. I'm not going to call that disastrous. He was just doing his thing on the practice squad, but never really got to that next step. You would like to see him take that next step. And again, you would definitely be fine if he was really good and had a great camp. I'm just not banking on it. And that's just kind of where I stack up with Dalton. And, you know, he's a guy that could come up here and do a good job, but again, you're not going to bank on it. And look, maybe he makes a role for himself. Maybe he shows out in training camp and the Saints cut him, but then later in the season after injuries, they go pick him up. I think he's one of those type of guys, and I wouldn't expect him to make this team. And then the last guy, which is very interesting, is going to be Malcolm Roach out of Texas. And I think he can be, more than Dalton, I think he can be the next, like, Shai Tuttle. I think he could be the next kind of Taylor Stallworth for the Saints. And to me, it is very interesting to see what he does. You know, he's a guy that really, like, he's a guy that can have some really nice abilities to push back the offensive line and make some plays. Like, he's a guy that can do that. And you look at him, like, team captain, so he's really good. He plays with a lot of strength, and he fires with it, and he's really good with that. He's got a nice, strong base. Like, to me, that's really, really good stuff. He's really good at getting and controlling the point of attack, making a play, pushing those offensive linemen back. The problem is that he played out of position, and that hurt his growth. So he's going to have to come up in here and kind of learn some things, but he does have some really good strength qualities. He has some really good, kind of also some pretty good pass rushing ability as well. And he's a guy that kind of has pretty good technique here. Now he has some, like, just like some motor issues, and he wasn't placed in the right position, like that stuff. So supposedly he may have to kind of switch what he does in the weight room, because you look at him, he's 6'2", 297, like, as a defensive tackle. That's definitely a little undersized, so he's going to have to gain some weight at the weight room and kind of to fit into that role. Now, if he does that and, you know, he uses that technique the right way, he could be a guy that you could see in training camp have a really nice, doing a really nice job, I really should say. And he's definitely going to be a fan favorite from Baton Rouge. And I could definitely see him make this team as that Taylor Stallworth, Shai Tuttle type guy, especially if an injury happened. I'm rooting for him, definitely, and I do think that he could be a rotational piece down the line. I think he does have some potential here, and he was supposed to be drafted in like 6th, 7th rounds and just ends up not getting drafted, like that happens. And I think he could be a guy that does project as a guy that ends up playing as a 1-tech or a 3-tech down the line. I think he kind of could be, and he definitely kind of projects to be the next Taylor Stallworth or a Shai Tuttle. We'll see if he really takes that next step and becomes that player. But I think when wrapping up kind of what we've seen here in this breakdown, I think this group is extremely deep. I know I've been planting seeds about it, but I think this is maybe the deepest, I mean, besides quarterback, because I think quarterback's a really deep group, besides quarterback, I think this may be the deepest position for the Saints. Now, the Saints do have questions at the top, but because you have all that depth at the bottom, like, the Saints have 5 or 6 starting caliber players. That's something to say. I mean, look, whatever you want to say about them, maybe they're not starting 3-tech players, but you have, to me, at least 3, like, starting 1-tech players, 3 starting 3-tech players that could do a serviceable job to an above-average job at this level, and you have a few guys that have star potential. If it all maps out the right way for the Saints, you could see this group being just amazing. You could see Onyemata taking the next step. You could see Rankins taking the next step. Maybe they combine for like a double-digit sacks between them two. Then you have Davenport playing well, and you have Jordan playing well, and, you know, this Saints defensive line's really good. Now, you would love to see that, but look, Rankins has had injury issues, so hopefully Onyemata will be able to step up. Even if you even have some depth, even if both of those guys get hurt, because you have Shai Tuttle, who's looking to take that next step, and I think he's kind of projecting to take that next step. And then also, you have guys like Mario Edwards, who's going to step in here and also do a good job. So that's really, I mean, I think this is just a really deep group. They may not be at the top, like, they're not an A-plus group, because they just don't have, like, to me, a star Pro Bowl player. But you're going to call them, like, a B-plus, A-minus position, just because all that depth they have a lot of starting caliber players. And that's really all you can ask for, a lot of guys you can trust. And I do think that this position has a lot of guys that I can trust. So, I think with all that said, it is time to wrap up this podcast. If you like the podcast, like what we're doing at the Who Dat Discussion, definitely follow us on our social media accounts. We did say them earlier in the podcast. And then also, definitely, you can listen to this podcast wherever you get it. So, that means iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all that fun stuff. So definitely check it out on any of the sites we are on, because we are very accessible and want to get out to any podcasting site that you listen to. Our next film study is going to be on Andrus Pete. That should be a fun one. So definitely check out for that in the near future, starting to watch some film on him. Some ups, some downs. It's going to be extremely interesting to get into him and kind of see what he's doing as well. And that's probably going to be a very divisive film study, because there's going to be a lot of things in there that we have to break down and we have to be real about and kind of see where he maps out for this next season. Again, I think that just how the podcast is scheduling out, we're recording this on the Thursday, May 21st. So hoping to get a podcast out for Memorial Day weekend as well. And then, we'll pick up after the little short break, but it's not gonna really be a break for us, cause we'll probably put a podcast out on like Saturday or Sunday. And then also then we'll be right into that next week. And that should be fun as well. Going to continue the positional breakdowns, definitely analyze all the news the Saints put out, and, should be really, really fun. So I think with all that said, I want to say thank you guys for listening, run it back, and who dat?